I'm Prison Mike. You know why they call me Prison Mike?
Do you really expect us to believe you're somebody else?
Do you really expect me to not push you up against the wall, biatch?
Whoa, whoa, yes.
All right, hey, that's just the way we talk in the clink.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly post-draft edition, Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into all the news, all the prospects, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So, first things first, go follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss on Twitter. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, soon to be SoundCloud, officially on Spotify. We're everywhere, so it doesn't matter what your device is, what your app of preference is, we're there. Subscribe. Now, as an added bonus to you guys, and it's only because Weiss and I like you guys, you know, you listen to us every week, and we appreciate that. We're doing a giveaway. Big, big, huge, as Donald Trump would say, huge giveaway. We're giving away a Saquon Barkley jersey. That's right. That's not a joke. A Saquon Barkley jersey, number 26, Barkley on the back, navy, not navy, more like royal blue, yeah. New York Giants jersey. Here's how you enter. You got to be following me, at EthanGSN. You got to be following Weiss, at NYG Daily. The next and last criteria, make sure you're subscribed on your app of choice, whether it be iTunes, Google Play, if it's on Stitcher, whatever it is, tweet us a screenshot of you being subscribed. You'll get two entries if the screenshot also includes a 5-star rating. So follow me, follow Weiss, and screenshot with a subscription and a 5-star rating. If you've already subscribed and have a 5-star rating, just send it to us again. Maybe create a second account and do it. I don't know. Maybe unsubscribe and then resubscribe. That's only for you to determine. But I think we have one more piece of housekeeping. I'm not going to spoil it. It's sort of a surprise for you guys. Outside of the Saquon jersey, we're going to have a very, very, very special guest next week. So we'll be recording Tuesday for Wednesday, and I think you guys are going to like it. I think it'll be interesting. I'll say this much. It's a former player.
Hopefully he brings some information that he can share with us.
Yes, yes. Very relevant to the Giants and some of the draft moves that they've made. It'll be very fun. It'll be interesting. Should be 15 or 20 minutes. We've had current players, we've had former players, but I honestly think that this may be one of the higher, I don't say tier, but more popular players that has worn a Giants jersey that we will have on the podcast. So get excited for that. We're excited. It'll be a fun interview. Without further ado, we're done with the housekeeping. Let's get into the draft news. Weiss, let's talk draft. A lot of places to start at. I know we spoke pre-show. We usually have like a 4, 5, 6 point agenda that we sort of, you know, text with each other and we say, all right, you know, we're going to talk about this stuff in this order. There's just a lot to talk about. And honestly, there's a lot of stuff we wanted to touch on. So I think we're just going to go with more of a free-flowing conversational podcast as it pertains to the draft. So I'll throw it to you since I've done most of the talking so far. Where do you want to start?
So now that the draft was over, all six picks were in, took a step back and sort of summarized this whole offseason to myself since Dave Gettleman, Pat Shermer hired. So the plan from the get-go was, you know, to sticking with Eli Manning and thinking that you can still win with Eli Manning. And whether you think that that's the right approach or the wrong approach, that's a different discussion. And we've had that discussion countless times throughout,
beating
on
a
our podcast.
Broken record.
We already talked about that, but that was their plan. But I think going into the offseason with some of the moves they made, specifically Nate Solder and Patrick Omame on the offensive line, and going into the draft, drafting Will Hernandez, drafting Saquon Barkley, they executed that plan. You can't knock them for the way they approached the plan. They went out, they got a left tackle in Nate Solder. They went out and they got an average starting guard in Patrick Omime. They went into the draft and took the best player available in Saquon Barkley to help take the pressure off of Eli Manning and the rest of the offense. And then they went out and they got, you know, Will Hernandez, a great value in round two, who is a day one starter in the offensive line. So you can't really, you know, whether you agree or disagree with their plan, you can't have any complaints on the way they approached it and the moves they made to execute that plan. So, I mean, overall, there's a lot of, you know, there's different areas we can dive into on was this the right move or was that the right move. But overall, when it came to the plan, they stuck to it. And, you know, you can't really complain with some of the decisions that they made. So that overview of the draft, overview of the offseason is Dave had a plan. They stuck to it, and all the moves they made to help execute that plan, can't complain about.
Agree. Now, you sort of touched on something. Now, we've beaten the Eli Manning drafting a quarterback, dead horse, broken record, like I said.
Right.
My take on the draft is Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur had a vision. And whether or not you agree with that vision, they went out and executed, I'll give them an A, to what their plan was for who they drafted and the trades they made. Those moves are an A from me for what they're aiming to do. Now, one place that I want to start, and I promise this has a point, it might be a little long-winded. I want to start in the trenches. Now, I look at the Saquon pick, phenomenal player. I look at the offensive line he's going to be running behind. And granted, I may be looking at the epitome of what an offensive line should be, but these two teams just happen to be in the division. Now, people will make the argument that the New York Giants went out and they wanted to win the battle of the trenches. They went out and they got Nate Solder. Well, you know, Nate Solder's good. He's not amazing. As we've said numerous times, you go out in free agency, you're going to be paying A-plus money for B talent. Patrick Omame, he's okay. He's nothing special. Brett Jones, he played well last year, but again, still sort of a question mark. I think it's, you know, we need to see him play, but the overall consensus is that Will Hernandez at 34 was not only a steal, but someone that'll be a staple on the Giants offensive line for the next 10 years, God willing. And then you look at the right tackle position, Chad Wheeler or Eric Flowers. Either way, I'm not impressed. And you look at each position and you compare it to the Cowboys and the Eagles, teams that you're going to be playing a total of four times every season, right? Nate Solder isn't starting over Tyron Smith or Jason Peters at the left tackle position. Omame isn't starting at left guard for the Eagles or the Cowboys, whether that's Lael Collins or if they stick him at right tackle or if it's Wisniewski for the Eagles. Brett Jones certainly isn't starting over Travis Frederick or Jason Kelce. Hernandez, he could probably start at right or left guard for a lot of these teams, but, you know, the Cowboys, they got Zach Martin, tremendous player. He'll probably start over Brandon Brooks. And there's no way in hell that Chad Wheeler is starting over either Lael Collins or Cam Fleming, whoever the Cowboys stick at right tackle, or Lane Johnson for the Eagles. So you look at the end of the day, I don't understand why people have such high expectations for the offensive line. Because at the end of the day, yes, they made improvements. But comparing this offensive line to last year's offensive line is like being the tallest midget in the room, at least until they can go out and prove themselves. Now, I'll transition this into the draft a little bit and say some positive things about the team, because at the end of the day, I think Gettleman and Shurmur, they look at the makeup of the Giants roster and they say, you know what? It may be tough to win along the offensive line, but you look at how good these defensive lines are in the division. We need to bulk up. We need depth. And a lot of people weren't happy with RJ McIntosh and BJ Hill in the mid rounds of the NFL draft. I like those picks. You look at the team last year. You had JPP and Olivier Vernon playing 90% of the snaps. We agree that that's not a sustainable number. You can't have guys who are getting up there in age. Hell, even guys who are in their prime playing over 90% of snaps season after season. Especially after you trade JPP, you're already a little bit thin. And I know they got Wynn and they've got, you know, a bunch of other guys back there as depth, but you can never have too many good players in the trenches. And for a guy like James Betcher, who's going to be rotating guys in and out, it's a 3-4 base defense, but you bet your ass, that's a pun, that they're going to also be running a 4-3 defense. And the more versatile guys they have in the trenches, the more effective James Betcher's defense is going to be, and the more effective this Giants defense is going to be. 100% they still have holes in the secondary. We're going to talk about it. But at the end of the day, when you're going to have to go up against these unbelievable offensive lines, and you have a defensive mind as creative as James Betcher, I have no problem going after depth in the fourth and fifth round to solidify the defensive line. That's the end of my trenches rant. I'll let you, you know, pick and choose where you want to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the two defensive linemen go, I think a lot of people are sort of taken back by it because a lot of people didn't study up or read up on the defensive tackles because they felt like the Giants were good at it with Dalvin Tomlinson and the Snacks. But no, I think, like you said, this adds depth. This creates a rotation. This means that, you know, you don't have Tomlinson and Snacks playing, you know, 85-90%
of the snaps. Just not sustainable.
And you know, quite honestly, I think RJ McIntosh could be a potential steal in the later rounds. I remember a while back, I was you know, watching some highlights on Quentin Nelson, and then specifically the Miami game. And I remember, you know, there was a guy that was, you know, constantly causing, you know, havoc for the Notre Dame offensive line, which was one of the best in the country. Two linemen of theirs went in the top 10. And the one thing I kept noticing was number 80, you know, always in the backfield. And at the time, I didn't know, you know, who RJ McIntosh right. really was. I wasn't, you know, that fond of him or knew who he was. But as I started reading up on him, he's, you know, it was like, started really, this guy is really good. I envisioned the sort of Chris Canty, guy that can rotate in on third downs, and he's a big man, physical man, strong. So, definitely, I think a good could be a potential steal in this draft. And BJ Hill, I mean, I've seen comparisons to Marvin Hostins, and I've seen comparisons to Linval Joseph,
yeah.
both of which have been drafted by the Giants.
What a opposite ends of the spectrum, Jesus.
So you're hoping that you it's more of the Linval side, but again, this adds depth. You need depth. The Giants needed depth. They had none whatsoever last year, and I think this helps. You can never have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough defensive linemen. We should know that more than just about anybody else, because we've seen the successes of having good defensive linemen, and we've also seen what happens when you don't have depth. So I have no complaints with them going defensive line. As far as your point about the offensive line, I will say this. I think they have drastically improved on the offensive line. I know there's a couple of spots where it's still unknown. I mean, we still have to see Will Hernandez play. We're all going off of what we think he will be. But I think just upgrading from Eric Flowers to Nate Soldier at left tackle, and I know Nate Soldier is not a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, but he is a good left tackle in this league. I believe Pro Football Focus, you know, if you look at their grading scale from week to week last season, he improved drastically as the season went on. So there is improvements on the offensive line, but it's going to, like you said, it's still an under construction project. They're still going to need to add a right tackle. And they're still going to have to do possibly, you know, figure out the long-term solution at center. Is Brett Jones going to be the answer? He's on a one-year deal. So there are question marks there. But overall, I think that when you look at this class, and in terms of players that we think that can come in and make a day one impact, there's one player that we haven't discussed yet that we will. But in terms of players that can make day one impact, I think, you know, they have improved as a roster drastically. I think adding a dynamic player like a Saquon Barkley, he will, you know, when Dave Gettleman says, you know, he helps your offensive line, he helps your defense, he helps your quarterback, he has a receiver. I mean, that's true. He does do all those things. He will make players look better. He does make people around him better. He's sort of like in that old Odell Beckham type of player where he garners so much attention. It'll open things up for Sterling Shepard, for Evan Engram, for Rhett Ellison, and for Odell Beckham. So, I mean, it's an awesome, you know, ad. And I think the one thing that I'm also going to take away from this is with Eli Manning, there's just no more excuses. I mean, I know the offensive line isn't perfect, but, you know, shit, you know, not everything can be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, we can't sit here and give you the NFC Pro Bowls, you know, the whole Pro Bowl roster for the NFC and say, here you go. There's going to be every offense has weaknesses. Every offense has deficiencies where they're going to need the quarterback to overcome. So ultimately we'll see what happens. But I mean, looking at it face value, I think the Giants improved drastically, specifically on their offense, on the offense, getting a running back like Barkley and then getting a guy like Will Hernandez to help on the interior will definitely allow them to run the football much better than what they have been doing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. And here's a quote from the Senior Bowl about B.J. Hill that I really liked. This one stood out. Hill's power and quickness on day two were evident, particularly in one-on-ones, where he was dominant against every lineman he faced, except for one battle with Will Hernandez that ended up being a classic case of unstoppable force meets immovable object. You gotta love that.
Yeah. B.J. Hill's he's a strong man. He's a strong dude.
Yeah. His physicals, I think, came out very similar to Fletcher Cox.
Yeah. And another thing about him is, listen, Snacks ain't getting younger. You know, he got to have...
What is he, like 29 now? People forget he's getting up there.
Yeah, you know, he's getting up there, and that contract is, you know, usually the later years when you get the larger cap hits. I'm not sitting here advocating for Snacks to get cut, but what I'm saying is you're going to need to have, outside of the fact that you need depth, you need a rotation. Maybe B.J. Hill's the long-term answer there when, you know, we come time to talk about life after Snacks. But another pick that I really did like was a Lorenzo Carter pick.
Yeah, let's talk about him. Leonard Floyd 2.0.
Leonard Floyd, sort of, you know, Jamie Collins, a guy that can rush the passer. He can play inside. I mean, he can play the inside linebacker role. But, I mean, he's a fast dude. He's versatile. He can bend. He can put his foot in he can put his hand in the ground. Just adds – he's like the perfect player for a James Betcher defense who can blitz from different areas of the field. He's good in coverage. I mean, overall, I really like the Lorenzo Carter pick, and I won't be surprised if he's not a day one starter for the Giants at either, you know, at one of the linebacker spots. But he's going to be getting a lot of playing time. I'm very excited to watch him. I didn't watch him much throughout the pre-draft process, but the couple times, you know, after the draft, you know, you go and everyone goes in and they research these players. But just watching him, I mean, it's almost like this was the type of player the Giants were looking for, and I think they got it in Lorenzo Carter.
Definitely. He's a physical freak. He's 6'5", 250, ran the 40 in 4.5 seconds. And his stats at Georgia, very similar to Leonard Floyd. Shout out to our guy, WBG84. Floyd had 182 tackles. Carter had 166. Floyd had 26.5 tackles for loss. Carter had 21.5 tackle for loss. Floyd had 17 sacks. Carter had 14.5. And then Carter actually had one more forced fumble and four more fumble recoveries than Floyd did. So, again, more similarities between the two. Sort of that lanky, fast pass rusher that James Betcher is going to be able to move around a lot. Big fan of the Lorenzo Carter pick. I mean, listen, I think for what Dave Gettleman's vision is, I think he did a very good job. And, you know, you could make the argument, now this defense is not nearly as complete as the one you had in Carolina, but trying to build a very, very strong front seven with some holes in the secondary. Now, I've said it many times already. I'm going to say it again. This team is one major injury away from catastrophe. And that's pretty much in regards to every position. If Landon Collins goes down, you're leaving the faith of your secondary in pretty much just Jackrabbit. And then you got William Gay filling in. You got Darian Thompson, still a question mark. Janoris Jenkins goes down. Eli Apple's your CB1. Nate Solder goes down. Your offensive line is probably only marginally better than it was last year. It could be bad. And listen, football's a rough sport. I said it last podcast. I'll say it again. That's why you need depth. That's why I'm not upset about what Dave Gettleman did in regards to the defensive line. But a lot of people think this team's a contender, man. A lot of people are convinced that after this draft, and it happens with every team, everyone falls in love with their prospects, and all these rookies who haven't stepped foot on a football field and they haven't proven anything yet, people fall in love with these draft picks, tremendous college talents, but we don't know what they are in the pros, and automatically think that their mediocre to bad team is going to, you know, suddenly make a run in what's going to be a tough division. I just think people should really be tempering their expectations because, listen, the draft, I like the players that they got, but major holes that need to be filled. And, you know, still to this day, to this podcast, I am still confused as to what Dave Gettleman thinks this team is. I don't know if he thinks this is a win now team because some of the moves he has made indicate he believes that. And then he goes out and makes some moves that are very good for the, you know, medium to long term. And you sort of think to yourself, huh, maybe this guy gets it. And then he fucking gives John Stewart $3 million on 10 seconds in a free agency.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
Yeah, well, you know me. So, again, it's like I don't totally understand what Dave Gettleman thinks this team is. I just think that there are a lot of major holes that people are sort of turning, you know, a blind eye to strictly because they want to fall in love with Saquon and Will Hernandez and convince themselves that, you know, this team is going to make a Super Bowl run next year. That's just not the case.
Well, when people get confused about that is they say you have the number two pick and you have a 37-year-old quarterback, this shouldn't be a tough decision. But I think what Dave Gettleman saw was what a lot of other people might say, and that is if we can get the right, you know, personnel around Eli Manning, maybe we can milk another 2 years or 3 years out of him. And whether that's true or not, we'll find that out. But if Saquon is who I think Saquon is, I think that makes the Giants immensely better. I think what he brings to a team, I think he's a three-down back, no doubt about that. Out of the backfield, blocking. He was the best player in the draft. That's not something we should, you know, mix up. I think he was the best player in the draft. And if he can come in, and like Gettleman says, he makes your offensive line better, he makes your wide receivers better, he makes your defense better. If they're able to run the ball, not only when they have to, but when they want to, and they're able to dominate the line of scrimmage, you know, that would allow them to dictate the tempo of the game, the pace of the game. It will take pressure off Eli Manning where he doesn't have to drop back and he's not getting rushed on every single play. That will help, and that'll create that balance. Now, what will happen is when you're in these late games, in the third and fourth quarter, when your defense is so worn out, you know, they're playing so many snaps and they're tired, you're going to need that thumper. You're going to need that beast in that backfield. And I think that's what Saquon brings. I think he'll be able to, you know, help the Giants put together those 6-7 minute drives to close out games, to, you know, kick the game winning field goal, to score the game winning touchdown, something they haven't had. I mean, let's look back over the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? Yeah, the offensive line hasn't been good, but the Giants, they haven't had, you know, that run game that can come. And when I say run game, I mean collectively the offensive line and the running backs, where they can come in and they can put the game away. They can, you know, put together those, you know, 3-4 minute drives, and they can make you kill your timeouts. You know, I think that they have that now. Now, is their offensive line dominant? No, not by any stretch. But do I think that if Nate Solder comes in and he plays like he played toward the end of last season, is that going to help this team immensely? Absolutely. Do I think Omame comes in and is, you know, he's better than a John Jerry, or he's better than, you know, who the hell, you know, can he come in and sort of give you that similar production that, you know, John Jerry gave you, or maybe more, and sort of similar to what Justin Pugh gave you? Can that help? Yes. Can Brett Jones in a contract year give you the best year of his career? Sure, maybe not, maybe yes. And then Will Hernandez, can he come in and be that day one starter? So all these things, you know, if they can come together, can the Giants be a playoff team? Yes. Can we count on all those things coming together? No. But do we need all those things to happen for the Giants to be what they want to be? I don't think so. I think it's you can't, if you're sitting here telling yourself that the Giants offensive line is going to be a top 10 offensive line in the NFL, or a top 5 offensive line in the NFL, I think you're lying to yourself.
If you think that, I got a beach in Idaho to sell you.
Yeah, like that's not what this is going to be. But if Saquon comes in and is Saquon, who we think he's going to be, I mean, I think he's going to make a lot of people look better than what they actually are. And if they're able to open up holes and able to utilize his talent correctly, I mean, they can win games just based on the fact that they're able to dominate an opposing team's defense. They might not be more talented than Philly. They might not be more talented than Dallas and Washington. But when you have that beast in the backfield who can help you run the ball when you want to run the ball, I mean, when you can create that type of balance, and this is Saquon. We still got Odell Beckham who can take a slant 65 yards. So taking attention off Odell, it's almost like a pick your poison. You're going to stack 7A in the box, or are you going to, you know, how are you going to play this? So I definitely think if the Giants play their cards right and Eli Manning is not, you know, is more of a, is not a liability, I will say. I mean, I think this team can easily win 9 games and contend for a wild card spot. Am I going to sit here and say they're a Super Bowl contender? No. But I will say, in order to win games, you're going to need that balance. And if you have weaknesses on your defense like the Giants do, you know, besides the fact that you can go out and get those corners or get those linebackers to fill those holes, but if you have that dominant running game, I think that helps. If you're able to keep the ball, and I love what Gettleman says when he says he's a guy that can come in and help us run the ball when we have to run the ball, and when we want to run the ball, he can run the ball. And I think if they're able to do that, they're going to win some games that many of us don't think they can win right now.
I feel like Saquon running the ball behind this offensive line is going to be like, I don't know, man. It's going to be hit or miss. It's going to be hit or miss. To be honest, I feel like it's going to be like me trying to have sex. He's going to run into cheeks 9 times, and then, you know, on the 10th time, hopefully he'll find the hole.
I think their offensive, specifically the interior, they're going to run block a lot better. I think they will. I think
a lot of that's coaching.
Yes, it is coaching, but they, I mean, listen, last year, you know, Justin Pugh's strength wasn't run blocking, you know? Omame, he can run block. He can also pass protect. He's an average offensive guard. But Will Hernandez, I think if he can come in and he can be the day one starter and give you that impact, right? I mean, I personally thought Hernandez was the 3rd or 4th best offensive lineman in this draft, you know, and I think the only reason he fell... Third, I mean, I think if you look at it, you know, it's obviously Quentin Nelson 1, Mike McGlinchey 2, and then between Isaiah Wynn and Will Hernandez, you can debate that, you know, all day. But I just think if their offensive line takes that next step, which I think they will, I mean, Saquon's going to help them immensely. I think he will be able to help them win games that a lot of people don't think they can win. So... you know, it's all going to depend on can the quarterback play much better than what he did last year? And can the offensive line not take major hits in terms of injury? And can those guys that we expect to play well, can they actually play well? And then, you know, we'll see. But
a lot of it's going to fall on Eli Manning. There's no more excuses.
Yeah. No, there's no more. I mean, if you're going to sit here and if you're going to sit here and make an excuse for Eli Manning this season because the right tackle position is filled by Chad Wheeler, then, I mean, then you you'll never, ever criticize Eli Manning.
Yeah.
But it is a make or break year for Eli, I think.
Yeah, agree. I mean, let's transition this into Lauletta. Let's speak on Lauletta for a little bit. I mean, for me, it's simple. We don't know what Davis Webb is. We don't know what Kyle Lauletta is. What we do know is that Ben McAdoo really, really wanted Davis Webb and Pat Shurmur wanted Kyle Lauletta. And I think I know who I'm choosing.
Yeah, that's sort of the obvious thing. Yeah. But for me, it's pretty simple. Like when it started to set in that the Giants could be passing on a quarterback, one of my good Twitter buddies, Larry Soprano, check him out. Awesome dude to follow. Yes. He sort of got me hip to Kyle Lauletta. And I started researching him, reading stuff up on him. And a couple of notes that I sort of jotted down. I think he played 4 different offensive coordinators at Richmond, played with really bad receivers that could not get any separation. But yet he was one of the more accurate passers in the country. His strengths are actually completing He had a high completion percentage, and he can do well outside the pocket. He has good vision. And I think that I've seen a lot of comparisons. There's been, obviously, the big one has been Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't really see that as much. I think the story makes sense given the situation. I saw Case Keenum. And then an interesting thing that I came up with just watching him was Tony Romo. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying he's going to be, his career is going to be exactly the same as what Tony Romo's was. No, I'm saying his playing style is very similar to Tony Romo, how he can make plays outside the pocket. And as far as drafting a quarterback, I know that episode we did the morning after the first round, mm-hmm. we talked about how the Giants shouldn't take a quarterback. To me, I was more talking in terms of Mason Rudolph and in the second round, because I got a lot of questions, you know, overnight about people saying, should we take Rudolph at 34? Should we take Rudolph at 34? And I was just like, no, like I'm not as high on Rudolph as all these other people were. I just didn't like him. But Laletta in round four, to me, that's good value. And as for the Giants, you know, Eli Manning is 37. So to me, they should continue to draft quarterbacks every year until they find the right one. And if you hit on a couple, then, you know, there's no better trade value than a guy, than a quarterback that has potential to be a franchise quarterback. So I like the pick. I love what Shermer said in terms of quarterback culture. You want to create that factory of quarterbacks. You want to, you know, bring guys into the room who can learn from Eli. You know, I like that. I like having those fresh faces. I mean, Shermer was brought here to be that quarterback, you know, guru, that guy that knows how to work with quarterbacks. And I absolutely love the pick. I think I'm excited to see him in the summer. I'm excited to see him in the preseason. I do think he is better than Davis Webb. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens. I'm interested to see that competition between him and Davis Webb. I think he's going to win it. But if he does, what happens to Davis Webb? Does he go on the trade block? Could he potentially, you know, get cut? Who knows? But, you know, I think Laletta is, to me, is the better option at backup quarterback. And if we're going to, you know, if you're asking me to pick which one has a better chance of being a successor to Eli, I'm going to say Laletta, man. I love his game. I love watching him. He had a great Senior Bowl. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah. You know, for me, it basically boils down to who picked who. We don't know what either of these quarterbacks are going to be. To be very honest, I haven't watched too much tape on Laletta, but I agree with your sentiment. Draft a quarterback every year until you find Eli's replacement. If I'm Dave Gettleman, I already know what I have in Eli Manning, and apparently still looks good throwing in shorts, according to Gettleman's comments. Mm-hmm. I give Davis Webb and Kyle Laletta as many preseason snaps as I fucking can in hopes that Davis Webb balls the fuck out and someone who needs a backup quarterback or thinks he has potential bites and offers them a draft pick for him.
Yeah, but you know the one issue with that one, with that is, and I agree with that. I think that they should get a lot of snaps to Laletta and Webb, but this is also a new offense. So they're going to have they're going to have to get in sync, and there's a whole new, you know, monster in the room now in Saquon who's going to, there has to be that established role for him. So, you know, I mean, can they afford to like sit Eli for multiple preseason games?
That's just a fair point.
You know, so, I mean, and I know, you know, they have a lot of practice time, but, you know, they're going to need those preseason snaps for Eli to get in sync with the receivers and with the rest of the offense. So I'm with you though, in terms of playing them. I think, you know, they both deserve to play a chunk, but I mean, ultimately, man, for me, I've already penciled in Kyle Letta as my QB too.
I don't blame you.
It's just crazy that people got upset about this.
I know.
Like so many people told me, like, you can find a quarterback in the later rounds.
The same people that are running Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese out of town are saying that Davis Webb needs a chance.
Yeah, I mean, like in the NFL, right? When you say he needs a chance, well, in the NFL, that translates to, in NFL language, that translates to just give him an opportunity to be on the roster, right? Just give him an opportunity to show what he can do, right, in the roster. But you want to sit here and say, give him a chance, like give him a whole year to be the starting quarterback of the NFL. We don't know nothing about him. Like, what? That's not how this works, my man. Like,
you gotta earn it.
Yeah, we don't do that. Now, my like, I just heard so many people tell me, like, oh, you know, you can fill down the later rounds. You don't need to take a quarterback, you know, number two when you have Eli. You can fill that role in round two. And I just start hearing all these names. You can take a Mason Rudolph. You can take a, you know, Lamar Jackson. And I even heard some people say Kyle Letta. And then guess what? The Giants take a quarterback in the fourth round. And everyone's like, what? How can you do that? We have so many holes. It's like, listen, man, you were just telling me that I can get a quarterback in the later rounds. Like, I can go back and I can look up tweets from people who told me many times that I can find a quarterback in the later rounds, who then on, what was it, Saturday, were complaining that the Giants took a quarterback in the later rounds. Like, it was laughable.
Yeah.
I don't know why people got mad.
It's crazy.
I think they should do that every year.
I don't know, man. People are...
I would have been mad if they would have taken Mason Rudolph in round two. Like, I would have been irate. The only quarterback that made sense for them in round two was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not Mason Rudolph.
You want to get in some questions?
Yes.
Let's do some questions. From Bilotto, do you feel BJ Hill at 69 was the right call? Yes.
Yes, I think you... looking what was on the board and then, you know, seeing how Terrell Crosby was the big guy. I think everyone was sort of upset that the Giants kept passing on him.
Listen, if the medicals don't pan out, the medicals don't pan out.
I think there was a foot issue with him and there was concussion issues too. It was the reason why he fell. Jamarco Jones was the guy that right tackle from Ohio State. I don't know how the Giants graded him. But again, that's another guy that fell. So these type of guys that we thought were going round two and three, they ended up going in round four, five, and six.
Right.
So BJ Hill, you know, we didn't know much about him because I'll be honest, I didn't look up defensive tackles like that. You know, I didn't even watch a lot of Vitae Vea. So, you know, was it the right pick? We'll see. Do I have a problem with it? Absolutely not. So that's my take on it. We'll see what he does.
This one from Jay. Besides Barkley, what was your favorite draft pick?
Oh, Will Hernandez. Yeah. I want to admit something. I actually, like, got up and celebrated in when the Giants took Will Hernandez. I love that value. I think he was the third best lineman, you know, in this class. I think he's going to be a day one starter. I think he's going to be really good. I think the Giants got a Pro Bowl caliber guard. Mean, nasty, physical, you know, loves the game, just ruthless dude. And there's a great he played at UTEP. They went 0-13.
So, yikes.
And he played as hard as in game one as he did in game 13. That is true. You can go back and you can watch. That man is mean. He's nasty, physical. That's exactly what I think the Giants need on the offensive line. Great value to get him in round two. I was nervous that Cleveland might take him or Cleveland might trade with Denver to take my new Denver wanted him really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his former coach at UTEP, I don't know if it's a head coach or an assistant coach, is on the Broncos staff and, you know, that connection right there. So, but I'm really happy at that pick. Great value. That might be my favorite pick in the draft. But anyways, I love the pick.
I'll be contrarian. I'll just say Lorenzo Carter because I feel like he's going to turn into a pass rushing monster in Betcher's defense.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think he's the perfect player for James Betcher's defense.
Yeah. So this one's from Andrew Owens. Do you believe in the underrated value of a running back when it comes to changing how opposing defenses play us? For example, eight men in the box. That analytics don't tell us, and will Saquon bring that aspect automatically? Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, having an amazing running back is going to change the way defenses look at you, especially when you have dynamic receivers like Odell Beckham and Evan Engram. The issue for me is, you know, the value of a running back, period. You know, you're going to be able to find guys later in the draft who are going to have the same impact, maybe more, maybe a little bit less, but value-wise, who knows, as Saquon Barkley is. You know, time will tell, but we've seen it time and time again. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, like, the list goes on. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to change the way that defenses look at you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the impact of Saquon is going to, you know, it's going to be harder for defenses to prepare for the Giants, because like we just seem to not be understanding that we still have Odell.
Yeah.
You know, like he's still a very good player. In terms of this pick, I mean, we talked about it on the last show before the draft. This pick will be judged on what happens with the quarterbacks the Giants yes. pass on, and whether or not either Kyle Aletta or Davis Webb become the future successor, and whether or not the Giants can avoid quarterback hell. Because yeah. to me, let's take away the financial part of it, right? Let's take that away in terms of rookie contracts and how running backs compared to quarterbacks on the rookie scale, right? There's nothing more important in this game than a franchise quarterback. Absolutely nothing. As great as Saquon is, and he is going to be a great player, I have no doubt about that. You cannot substitute anything for a franchise quarterback.
Agree.
Nothing.
So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how these guys pan out.
You know? So as the greatness of Saquon does not outweigh a franchise quarterback, and it does not outweigh being in quarterback hell.
Agree. This one's from Tim. Rank the draft picks in regards to most to least snaps played.
In 2018.
Yeah, 2018. I think okay. that's what he means. For me, it's easy. Will Hernandez, number one. Saquon, number two. Lorenzo Carter, number three. BJ and RJ can fight it out for four or five, and then Lauletta, six.
All right. So, Will Hernandez, one. Yep. Saquon, two. Lorenzo, you're going to say Lorenzo, three over yep. BJ Hill?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, then we'll say BJ Hill, four. And McIntosh, five. And then obviously the rookie quarterback's not going to play unless, you know, what if something happens. But, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I can see that. I'll agree with that.
Yep. This one's from Brian. Feelings on Gettleman so far, better, worse, as expected. For me personally, I will say – I'll say as expected. Because it seems like for every, you know, move that he makes that you say, yes, I like that, I agree, there's a John Stewart. Or there's paying a linebacker that failed a drug test and knew that when he signed him. Or choosing Saquon over what could be a franchise quarterback. But then you got trading JPP and then drafting Will Hernandez. So for me, it's like, you know, a bunch of these moves sort of even out. So I'll say as expected. Pleasantly surprised with how the draft turned out, however.
I'll say this. While I don't necessarily agree with their plan, I think they've executed it to the best that they can.
Yes.
While understanding other team needs. Like, they could have gone into this draft and drafted Saquon and then five other offensive linemen, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, they did the most with what they had. Like, they went out, they got a day one start on the offensive line, got a beast running back in Saquon. So while I'm not fond of their approach this offseason, I can say that I have no complaints about the way they are executing this, their plan. So
yeah, exactly. That's well put. Moving on. Michael Hurst, where do you see Flowers week one? And if not with the team, who's your best guess at right tackle week one? Well, if he's not on the team week one, it's either going to be Chad Wheeler or a veteran they sign that gets cut in camp. I see Ereck Flowers on the bench.
It's funny because Dave Gettleman was trying to get a mid-round pick for...
See, that's exactly what I mean. What the fuck is this guy smoking, asking a mid-round pick for Ereck
Flowers? Hey, I mean, listen, man. You know what that tells me? That tells me that he's not going to ever get lowballed.
Fair.
Trade. I mean, if the guy's asking for a mid-round pick for Ereck Flowers, I mean, I think that's safe to say he'll never allow himself to get lowballed.
If he's asking for a mid-round pick, I'll have what he's having. mid-round pick.
I would have traded Ereck Flowers for a fifth, a sixth, a seventh.
I would have traded him for lunch.
Forget the fact that Ereck Flowers is not good. Like, we've already established that he's not good. But the man has to stop acting like his shit don't stink.
Yes. That's the biggest problem with him. I can see a team taking a chance because they see a 6'6", 315-pound 24-year-old who probably has potential. But he's a fucking head case.
Like, I want to know, you guys think I'm crazy, but if Eric Flowers would have came in this season, right? Like, I'm dead serious. If Eric Flowers would have came in this season, right, into the program and competed for the right tackle job, won the job, and let's say he played average, right, through 16 sure. games, average. Giants didn't pick up his option. He's a free agent. Eric Flowers would have made money this offseason.
Yeah.
Because he's still young, and people would have said, well, he didn't work out left tackle, but damn, he looked average on the right tackle. And as we see, look at the money that average tackles mm-hmm. are making in free agency. Like, y'all think I'm crazy.
All he needed was one good season.
That's it. And the best thing that could have happened to him was one good season and a contract year where he's set to become an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys really, like, I'm dead serious when I say that it was a legitimate plan for Flowers going into this year, where if I was his agent or I was his brother or dad or whatever, I would be like, yo, Eric, go in there, compete, win the job.
Show up, dude.
Yeah, right? Win the job, just play average, and someone will give you $6-8 million a year.
That easy.
That's going to happen.
It's that easy. It's unreal that whoever the fuck is advising him like couldn't figure that out.
But I think in terms to answer this question, I don't see him on this roster, man. I don't. I think they're going to cut him.
Wow.
There's minimal cap savings, but I mean, what's the one thing that they've been dying to do? Like, what was the number one thing? Clean up the locker room.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't show up. You know, we already know they were shopping him during the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Dave Gettleman's comments. I mean, if you didn't see that clip, that man was just like, he ain't here. He's in Miami. Go call him.
Maybe that's why. Maybe teams are convinced that he's going to get cut, so there's no point in trading for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was when he didn't show up, and also the fact how it was already put out there that a lot of Odell's future would be determined if he commits to the new regime.
Yeah.
People figured that, well, if that was the, you know, the thing with Odell, I mean, it's going to be the same thing with Eric Flowers, right? If he doesn't show up, you know, that means he's not committed. That means he doesn't want to be here. He's not really good. They're going to cut him. Why should I trade for him? Right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would have thought they could have got at least a late round pick, but.
Right.
Man, Dave asking for a mid round pick. I mean.
Smoking something.
Shoot. I hate to be a fan of a team that gives up a mid round pick for Eric Flowers.
Deadass. This one's from Saquon season. Record predictions for the Giants after seeing their amazing draft.
I do think this approach, I had them at, I think it was 6 or 7 before this draft. After the draft, if I think the players make the type of impact that I think they will, I'm going to say they are more closer to an 8-9 win team than a 6 or a 7 win team.
I'm going to say 8-8. And the reasoning is their first 8 games, oh boy, that's a rough way to start your season. Throw in the fact that they have a new offense and a new defense and a bunch of new players that are still trying to mesh. It's going to be a rough first 8 games. I think they're going to be a second half team. But even with the addition of Will Hernandez and Saquon, I don't see this team being more than a 7 or 8 win team.
Do they score more than 30 points in a game?
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, you can take that to the bank. That'll happen.
I got a question for you, though. Do you have any other questions?
We got a few, but go for it.
All right, I'll ask my question.
Yeah.
Who was the most improved NFC East team over the weekend?
Oof, I mean, yeah, it's got to be the Giants. When you're starting, when you set the bar so low, and then you add Saquon and Will Hernandez. I mean, yeah, it's got to be the Giants. I mean, the Eagles are already amazing. They stayed amazing. The Cowboys.
Over the whole offseason.
Then definitely the Giants. The Eagles didn't really lose anyone or gain anyone. The roster is pretty much the same. Cowboys still have an amazing offensive line, but I'm not sold on Dak, and their defense is total shit. They don't have any receivers. They're like a 7-win team. So
they could use a Dez Bryant.
No kidding. So yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Giants between Ogletree, between cutting Bobby Hart, between a lot of the draft picks. Yeah, it's the Giants. What say you?
It's the Giants.
Yeah,
easily. I mean, you look at it. They significantly upgraded at the left tackle spot.
Yep.
One of their interior guard spots upgraded.
Yep.
They have
linebackers, Weiss. We have linebackers.
I was just about to say. I mean, I don't know if upgrade is enough to describe.
We just have with the linebackers. Competent linebackers.
Yes, they're athletic linebackers. Their coaching is upgraded. They have another dynamic player on their offense. They're getting back Odell Beckham. To me, they're immensely improved from last year.
Evan Engram in his second year.
And Evan Engram's a top five tight end.
Yeah, agree.
I can't think of five tight ends that I take over Evan Engram.
Totally agree.
I mean, Kelsey. Who else? I mean, Gronk. I mean, does he want to play football?
Gronk, Ertz.
Is Ertz better than Evan Engram?
Yes.
I think that answer is going to change by the end of year two.
Listen, I hope so, but Ertz is a fucking stud. Maybe Jimmy Graham.
Nope. You can keep your Jimmy Graham. I'm taking Evan Engram.
Right. Yeah, it's Evan Engram year two.
So I think they're going to be very good.
Yeah.
Very, very improved.
Nice. Very improved, yes. Yeah. Let's do one more question from Rob. Are you guys as stoked as I am on Loletta and his future potential? Because I'm freaking stoked. Rob is stoked. I believe he can not only be Eli's successor, but I believe he can ultimately be better than Eli, maybe by a lot. I can only guess he was slept on because of the college and conference. Rob, with the confidence in Loletta.
Wow. Wow.
That's heavy praise. Wow.
Whew. He's already penciling in a successor.
Yo, your mouth, your tweets to God's ears, Rob. Your tweets to God's ears.
Hey, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
In that case, let's just start in week one.
Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
You know, like, let's give it to Eli now. We got, you know, got Saquon, got a rookie quarterback on a contract. You know, let's do it. What are we waiting for?
Exactly.
No, I mean, it's a good prospect, good value. I do like the pick a lot. I like the prospect.
Yep.
I'm not going to sit here and do that. No, I mean.
No. Yeah, too early. Too early, Rob. But I like the confidence.
Yes.
All right. Is that it? We done?
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up then. Guys, Saquon jersey giveaway. Like, subscribe, screenshot, tweet, do everything. Fun guest next week. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss NYG Daily, the blog at GothamSN. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Yes, with our guest.
Peace.